Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone
with the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast
with Al,
Zane,
and Brian.
If Brock Purdy goes down with injury, at that point, I'm just like, you guys, let's pack it up. Let's go home.
That's it. Yeah,
let's forfeit the rest. Like, come on. Like, what? At that point, it's like, what do we do? What do we do?
You move out of Santa Clara. I don't care where you play. At a peewee football place somewhere, you move out of – you get out of that stadium because it's cursed. Get out. It's like poltergeist. Just pack up and get out, man.
There's two curses, by the way. So you guys follow account Random 49ers on Twitter?
Yeah.
Maybe.
They often post like things from the past and old school stuff like that. So they talked about the logo being changed from what it is now to what it is now from what it was in 95. And we all remember that because we're old farts, but that's the other curse is the logo. They haven't won a single Super Bowl since they changed the logo. The uniforms are kind of looking like they used to, and that's helping. But yeah, that new logo is not working, and they got the saloon font back, and you know, now just change the logo back. That's it, right? But Brock Purdy, if he goes down, I'm with you. That's it, man. That there's nothing left. Like that's unless you have a veteran, and that's why I wanted them to sign Baker Mayfield or a potential Nick Foles or whoever it is, because then at that point, at least you still have a shot. You have a puncher's chance. But I mean, I think that there's the unfortunate reality is that, like you said, Al, once guys get film on you, once teams have a chance to prep, like this was like done mid-flight where the Dolphins didn't really have a chance to even prep for Brock Purdy, as weird as that sounds, but like they didn't have a chance they were expecting Jimmy. They didn't have a chance to see like, they didn't expect a rookie to be thrown 37 times in a game, and they expected a much more conservative game plan. So maybe they got caught off guard. Plus the defense, which I don't think we've even talked about yet, is just lights out, the best defense I've ever seen from this team. Now, that being said, I think there's a very good chance that you're going into Seattle with a chance for Seattle to be catching you for the division. I think there's a very good chance of that, because I don't know if you're beating Tom Brady here, and I don't know if you're beating Seattle in Seattle on a short week. And that's not to say that they can't do it, but the deck is absolutely stacked against them. They're favorites, I believe, this week against the Buccaneers.
Three points, which is crazy.
But you get 3.5 for being at home, right? So you technically, you get three for being at home. Normally, so yeah. Really, it's just home field advantage.
You should lose.
But that's the thing.
You're down.
So yeah, I would say, right? You know? You're right, Zane. You get 3 points for home field advantage. But the fact that the 49ers are favored by three means that what Vegas is saying is on a neutral field, it's still a pick 'em between the Bucs and the 49ers. When the 49ers are starting Brock Purdy and the Bucs are starting Tom Brady, who Brock Purdy already said that dude's been playing football longer than I've been alive.
That's insane.
Bonkers.
You know what scares me though, guys, is they cannot run the ball right now.
They cannot.
So if you look, McCaffrey's been phenomenal catching the ball. Dude's changed the whole offense catching the ball, but he is not running the ball well at all. So he had under 3 yards per carry. So two of the last three games, he's been under 3 yards per carry, 14 for 38. Then he had 7 for 39 and 11 for 32. And in this game as well, he wasn't getting anything. It looked like Kevin Barlow running into the line and falling after 2 yards every single time. He had the run at the end where they pitched it and he cut back sort of reverse field and he hit it for 30 yards. But other than that run, he was 17 for 66 overall. He was 16 for 36 other than that run. He didn't do anything on the ground. Jordan Mason did. Yeah. He carries for 51 yards. He has that Elijah Mitchell kind of explosive, tough running. But is Kyle going to – Kyle's got to use him. Enough of Debo. Yeah. Debo – everybody's on to Debo. If Debo again, 4 carries, 5 yards, it's over. Once in a while, catch him off guard, do something funky. But Debo in the backfield running up the middle, no, it's over. It's over. Like, teams are on it. If they can't get that part of their game together, they are screwed. Because, again, as good as Purdy did, eventually teams are going to get the film on them. And if they have to pass like that because they couldn't really run the ball. So if you can't do that against Miami, you're not doing it against Tampa. Tampa, you can't run on them anyway. So that worries the hell out of me moving forward as we look to see, like, can this team actually keep winning games? Yeah, the defense, we know, but they do have to get to 20 points. And if it can't run and you're relying on Purdy, it could get ugly, and that scares me a little bit.
Christian McCaffrey is not an inside-the-tackles runner.
No, they keep
trying to make him one, and that's what I don't understand. That's the weird part to me. And so I agree, Al. He's not effective between the tackles. He's effective on the outside, but I think part of it is teams are geared up to stop that outside zone. And so Kyle's like, all right, well, if you're going to stop that, then I'm going to run between the tackles. Well, they're not. Chris McCaffrey's not effective at that. They're also not effectively blocking those runs either. But then you look at it and you go, but Jordan Mason averaged 6.7 yards a carry between the tackles on Sunday. So maybe they are blocking him up. And it really is just a matter of Christian McCaffrey not being that runner. But the problem is you don't want to take McCaffrey off the field, but you also don't want to tip your hand and say, all right, if McCaffrey's on the field, they're going outside. If Mason's on the field, they're going inside. But then you lose all tactical advantage. So I think he's still trying to figure out a little bit, like, how do I get this running game going, knowing that, you know, I've got this guy that isn't going to run that. And I know a lot of people don't like him. Grant Cohn made a great point last night. Christian McCaffrey's best rushing performance as a pro came with Cam Newton when they were running the read option. That's where McCaffrey is going to excel, and he's going to excel as a pass catcher. But as just a straight up line up in the eye and run between the tackles, he's not. He's not good at that. I'm not going to say he's not a good running back. He's not good at that. He's good at a lot of other things. He's not good at that. So you really got to start leaning on guys like Jordan Mason and allowing them a little bit more run to see, you know, to see what they can do. Cause he looked awesome on Sunday. Yeah. I loved the way he ran. And not only that, but there was a play where a hole kind of looked like it closed up and he got real skinny, got through the hole and then boom, that burst. And so I loved what Jordan Mason had to do. But here's the thing, because I don't want to get out of this episode, right? And we're starting to come up against it in terms of time. I really don't want to get out of this episode without giving the flowers to the defense, because ultimately, all of this talk, we can have it. If we're another team, if we're the Dolphins and Tua goes down, you're like, well, we're done. We're literally done, right? They went 0-3 with Bridgewater and Skylar Thompson. We're done. But the 49ers, we can talk about QB3 and we could talk about winning games because this defense is out of this world good. Out of this world good. And I want to highlight this one thing, and then I'll let you guys run with it. But walking back to the car and then sitting in the parking lot because you can't get out of there on time at Levi's. It is awful. But sitting there, the 49ers doubled up the Dolphins in time of possession, 40 minutes and 34 seconds to 19 minutes and 28 seconds. The Dolphins gained 120 yards on the Sherfield and Hill touchdowns, a 75-yard touchdown to open the game for Trent Sherfield, and then a 45-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Outside of those two plays, the Dolphins, the number one offense in DVOA, gained 188 yards on 39 plays for a 4.8 yard per play average. This defense is freaking incredible, and they're just so fun to watch. And ultimately, on Sunday, it was because, in my opinion, two players, Nick Bosa, Defensive Player of the Year, got three sacks in that game, which matched his total from November when he was Defensive Player of the Month. Leads the league in sacks now with 14 and a half, leads the league in pressures, leads the league in pass rush win rate, and there's another one I can't remember, or QB, pass rush productivity.
QB hits, too.
QB hits, there it is. And then Fred Warner, who quite literally is the reason why this offense works. Fred Warner erases the middle of the field for any offense, and that's what the Dolphins live on, just like the 49ers. They live on the middle. They live in the middle of the field, and Fred Warner effectively ended that for them on Sunday, and I cannot talk enough about how impressive this defense is and how impressive those two players are.
And I could talk about Bosa for 45 minutes. The guy's unbelievable. Also second in the league in tackles for loss. But I also thought Dre Greenlaw, his coverage on Mike Gesicki at the end there. Yes. Because if Gesicki brings that in, there was a little momentum there for Miami, and you never know what could happen. It was one score game at that point, and he makes Gesicki couldn't come down with it. Greenlaw had great coverage, and Greenlaw is just, you know, he's Johnny on the spot with the fumble. He scores a touchdown. Greenlaw and Warner are probably the best linebacker duo in the NFL. In that front seven,
and Aziz is great.
Aziz is great.
In that front seven, had Tua shook, and I thought there were some maybe some open receivers there. I mean, I haven't watched.
There were open receivers everywhere. Al,
it looked to me
they were everywhere.
Like there were places to go, and he couldn't get in the ball because he was shook until the end. He kind of got it going a little bit for a little while, but then he looked shook again because that's what that team does to you. Some of these teams now, they're stepping on the field, and right away the Niners have an advantage because they're intimidated. They're intimidated by that defense. They're intimidated by Nick Bosa. They're intimidated by the defensive line. Like you said, you have Fred Warner taking away the middle of the field. It's intimidating. So even if there may be some issues in the secondary without Mosley, will a better quarterback take advantage of those? Well, we saw Mahomes did, so maybe we'll see. But that front seven, for the most part, is going to dominate, and they have. And all this team has to do is get 20 points. And, yeah, we could – and all the people who make plays, but Bosa, Greenlaw, Warner, these guys are phenomenal. Armstead had a couple, you know, things that may have not shown up on the stat sheet, but he made some plays.
Yeah, Jimmy Ward was a pick. He was only in on 21 and made a big impact. He was, I'd say Armstead was largely responsible for that Jimmy Ward pick because he beat his man and Tua had to throw sooner than he wanted to.
Can't say enough on the defense, and they're going to have to carry the load the rest of the way. They already have been, but even more so.
It was one of the best defensive performances that we have seen all season from any team. From any team. It was that impressive. They were soul-crushing. And the 49ers linebacking unit, there was some reporter that mentioned a nickname about them. They're like, there's flying banshees from hell, is what he called them, those three linebackers. And Fred Warner is absolutely the best linebacker in the league right now. He has surpassed what Bobby Wagner was. He has surpassed Darius Leonard. He is the best linebacker in the league right now. Nick Bosa is the best pass rusher in the league right now. He has surpassed Micah Parsons in that department. So when you have guys in the front on the front seven that are at the best of their position, multiple guys, this is what you have. This is what happens. There was never any doubt. When the Niners went up by 9 points, there was never any doubt in my mind. I'm like, all right, defense is going to seal this up. And to have that confidence as a fan looking at your defense is huge. And I can only imagine how Kyle feels. I am so sad that we only get D'Amico Ryans for a couple more months before he leaves. I'm so sad because he has done that. If there were ever an assistant of the year job, like award, he would get that.
Because
he has done such a fantastic job with that defense at every level, despite injuries, despite all of the attrition that they've had, despite guys leaving. No, it doesn't matter. Nothing affects them. So I'm glad that we have the defense to fall back on. It is because of them that the Niners have a chance at still doing some damage in the playoffs. It is solely because of them. And I said that, like, well, the Seattle Seahawks may catch them in the next couple leagues. It is because of the Niners defense that they may not. Otherwise, they would be screwed. With a third string quarterback, they would be absolutely screwed. Doesn't matter how good Brock Purdy is. If you don't have a defense, it doesn't matter. All the other quarterbacks that they've started in all the other 3 years prior to this, where Kyle's used the entire QB room, they have never had a defense. They've always been either injured or they haven't had a roster. So this is the first time Kyle has a defense next to his third-string quarterback. So we'll have to see what happens.
Offense sells tickets. Defense wins championships.
Yep.
There you go. We're going to find out. All right, guys. It's never boring with this freaking team. It's never boring. So we'll be back. We'll be back Thursday. We're another collab pod with our buddy John Chapman's going to be on. Talk Niners with us. Talk about the Buccaneers game. And God knows what else will happen between now and Thursday because it's 49ers. Could be anything. So tune into that for Brian and Zane. This is Al.
Peace.